Matthew 11:28 says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." You need that rest this morning? I do. I hope that you are keenly aware that the evil one, that the accuser, is at war with the church. He's at war with our church, and he's at war with you. That's not a scare tactic. That is not to make you concerned. It's to help you be alert and recognize that that is a reality we're facing. We practice, or if you want to call it worship practice, it really is just a time of worship, but just in preparation. And we had a time of prayer after, and you know me enough to know that I'm not generally one to say something like this, not that I don't believe it, but I'm not usually quick to speak on it. But I don't know what is happening this particular week. I don't know what was going on earlier in the week, and honestly over this weekend, is that I feel very strongly in what I mentioned to the worship team, and I want to mention to you, is that I felt very strongly that the enemy has been attacking many within our church. And I don't know who, I don't know when or how, but I've sensed it all week. And there is nothing unique about my sermon this morning. I didn't put extra time into this one. There's a few things I'm going to be talking about this morning using that I don't normally, but there's nothing unique about it. So I have no idea what God wants to do, but I am keenly aware in my spirit that the enemy is at war. And I'm keenly aware that God is wanting to do something this morning. And whether that be publicly or whether he does it within your heart, I don't really care. But I do believe that there are those of you, and maybe it's just for you, that when you leave this morning, that he wants you to leave something behind. This season is a time that we get closer to the New Year's, and usually we're doing these New Year's resolutions. But honestly, in our hearts, I want us to go through a new season free. A new season of joy, and one as we walk into the new year that we are light, that we are free from the shackles of what this life has brought. And I've just felt a great weight, and as I said, I just go into this because I want us to all be praying. I want us to all be praying for one another, because I don't know what was going on last night. I do not get sick very often. In fact, I don't have spontaneous sicknesses. But I slept probably a total of an hour last night, and I woke up at 2, I woke up at 3, I woke up at 4, and going back and forth, I couldn't breathe, which I don't know why. I couldn't sleep, I couldn't feel, my muscles were sore, I was getting up, I was getting down, eventually I just got up and stayed up, and I just felt that the enemy was attacking me, and I was 2 seconds from calling or sending a message to the guys and saying, "Hey, somebody have anything on your heart, because I can't make it." And I just want to be transparent with you, because I don't know what's going on, except for I believe that the enemy is trying to stop what God would have happen this morning. He is at war with us, but we have a God that is greater. There is rarely a week that goes by that I don't sit up on the little box up there, and generally, you probably don't even realize it, but I'm generally praying for you guys during the service. And I'm always wondering internally, what is happening in your life? And the sad part about Body of Christ is oftentimes we don't really know what each other's facing unless we tell each other. And I look out here and sometimes I feel a burden to pray for certain ones, or I just pray, blanket pray for you. But I do often think, God, what's going on in our lives? What burdens is our church carrying that I'm not aware of? And so I just say, Lord, you take care of it, because only you know and only they know. And I think of this often, and there's a good chance that those of you particularly that I felt led to pray for, that you found yourself barely even getting here this morning. As I said, I woke up and I was certain I wasn't going to make it to church. And I know that there are Sundays, there are days, there are seasons where you just feel like you can't get out of bed in the morning. And I want to offer you some hope, not because I have hope in myself or what I have to bring, but because what the Word says, what our Heavenly Father has said, is that there is hope for you this morning. And also, this is a message to the believer, because you and I can walk as believers and find ourselves shackled with burdens that we don't even realize we've taken on. There is a every day when you wake up, I was thinking this the other day, is if you read the news, a lot of people don't have newspaper anymore, but you online usually have a source, but Tell me the last time that you turned the news on and you found something to rejoice in, or also found something that encouraged you. Been a long time, right? The news is not set up for you to be encouraged or find joy or hope. It's there to affect you emotionally, and usually it just causes stress. I go on this app that I read articles, all the main articles of what's going on in our world, and I read title after title, and by the end of it, I'm just like, I can't do it. You know, I just, it's too much. And the reality is you and I wake up every day with so much that we can pull upon ourselves, that we can carry on ourselves, and the burdens that we carry, and I want to be free from that. And I believe there are those in you here that just feel heavy laden this morning, heavy and burdened, and I want to encourage you. And so I have an illustration this morning, and I just want you to take it, because usually an illustration is the only thing that you're going to remember today. You will probably, I did an illustration like 3 or 4 years ago, and I remember Nick told me, he said, I don't even remember what you preached, I just remember what you did in the illustration. So if you remember the idea of it, then that's great. But I want my the two guys I asked to come up.
I was going to say, if you're
going to
show a video, move the black.
Oh, yeah, no, I'll move that, so okay. Not yet. But I want you guys just to observe this and to just take it kind of seriously, but just take it in this moment. So I've got my two helpers, so you can go and hand me my first one. I will go with these two. Go ahead and go with those two. All right. Yeah, thanks. No, I'm good. Go ahead. Thanks.
You sure you got it?
Yeah, I'm good. Go ahead.
I mean, really, I can help if you need it.
I'm good. I don't need your help. Go ahead. Okay, thank you.
Are you sure?
No, I don't need any help. I can do it myself. Thank you. Better pick it up.
Do you need help? I mean, I'm here if you need.
No, I'm good. Okay, there's one more. All right. I'm gonna be honest, I had no idea if I could do this or not. Hey, we're just gonna stop for a second. I didn't break the pew. Okay. You want to help me? Here, just take the two top ones.
Don't take the two top ones.
Thank you.
Okay, I'll take the two top ones.
Okay.
Got it?
Whew, all right. Anybody want to take my spot now? I should have done that at the end. All right. Thanks, guys. Well, our pew's got a, or our pulpit's got a bit of a dent, but hey, it's, we'll work. Oh, okay. Thanks to my brother-in-law for letting me use those. I actually had this mental picture all week, though, because as funny as I know that looked, a lot of people go around life like that. And originally, I was going to ask Will's dad to do it, because I look at Matt and I'm just like, he's everything the epitome of man. He's got the long beard. He's intimidating. If something happens in our church where there's an attack, I want to be behind him. Okay, so he was going to be my Jesus figure, but you know what, Will, you're a lot taller than me, so you're definitely a good second place. So thank you. But I had this picture, and as I was praying, I was thinking of this, of how often and how Scripture is so clear that we have an advocate who has already made a way for you and me. And how often is that exactly how we look? There's a handful of people I've been praying for that aren't even part of this church, that's how I picture them, is that they're walking around and they're so weighed down and they don't even know it. I was thinking, this isn't that bad. Honestly, one of these is fine, but if I were to ask you want to carry this home and make sure tomorrow you just walk with it all day, eventually your body is not going to be able to handle it anymore. And yet there are those that carry around massive weights. And I was thinking this week, what is the message to us as a believer? Is that Satan, as I mentioned, seeks to do what? To steal, to kill, and destroy. And John 10:10 says, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. And what does Jesus respond with? He says, I have come that they might have what? Life, but life more abundantly. I think that the enemy knows there are those of us that he can't rob our souls. But he knows that he can paralyze us. And the reality is that you could have come to faith, you could be walking with the Lord, and yet be so burdened down that you don't even realize you're weighed down. And I believe there are two truths that I was praying on this week, is that Satan, number one, wants to keep you from an abundant life. If he can keep you at a mediocre Christianity where you just do the things we've always done, if he can just get you to show up for church on Sundays, have your devotion, whatever time of day it is, and that's just the extent of your life, then he's content with you just doing the basics. But even more than that, I believe that the enemy wants to render you useless to the kingdom. And I promise you this, if you were like me, what happens when you're carrying this around? And if somebody needs my help, I've got nothing to do for them. That weight that I carried, I wasn't going to get anything else. If you needed my help with anything, what was I going to be able to do for you? Nothing. My hands were full. The burden was too heavy. And so because of that, in the moment I'm walking down the aisle like you saw, in that moment I just couldn't wait to get to the back and get rid of the weight. But what's happening is all I'm thinking about in that moment is not how silly I look, but how in pain I feel. And in that moment, my entire focus is on myself and how I'm feeling. I'm not aware of what's going on in your life. The enemy wants to render you and I useless to the kingdom by keeping us inward focused and keeping us weighed down. There was my main scripture this morning. It has actually been in my heart for a couple weeks, even before I knew what I was preaching on. But I'm going to have you open to Psalm 103. Don't have a lot today, as I said. I feel like my heart, my mind, everything about me is jumbled this morning because just the weight of what this week has brought. But whatever it is that God wants to speak, I hope that these verses will be enough. Psalm 103, and I want to tell you a quick story before I read it, because I can't talk and turn pages. I'm in the New Testament. Psalm 103. When my younger brother was in the hospital, and I don't remember if I told this story before, because he was connected to so many different tubes and stuff, he really couldn't do much. So he was in a hospital bed. He could play the Wii, play some video games and stuff, but he was limited on what he could do and what he had access. So he watched a lot of movies. And Luba, who married my dad, came into the family and barely within it, less than a year, Josiah went to the hospital. So she was there for 6 months with him. Well, my dad had told Josiah, and I don't know how many of you are big Disney Channel fans or not, but there were certain episodes that my dad just didn't want Josiah to watch. And so he said, as long as we're here, you can get our permission and you can watch certain episodes, but there's some things we just don't want you to watch, so just don't watch. You can't watch the Disney Channel unless we're in the room. And very rarely was she not in the room, but one of the times she had gone to do laundry and Josiah was in there and he had watched Disney Channel. Okay, most of us think, okay, big deal. I mean, there was the disobedience factor, but really it's Disney Channel. And nowadays I do question some of that, but definitely at the time it didn't seem like a big deal. Well, this was not known to anyone but Josiah, because as soon as he knew she was coming back, he just turned it off or switched to a channel he was allowed to watch. Well, the reason I bring this up is it wasn't too long after that he had, the doctors had told my parents that there was an experimental transfusion of sorts that they were going to have to do, but he was going to have to agree to allow them to do it. Even though he was a kid, they said we still have to affirm that he's willing to allow this because it's not generally, accepted. And so the parents signed off, but they also had to tell him what he was going to do. He's 8 years old, and they pretty much had to tell him, you have to agree to this. The reality is, it may not work, and you might die. An eight-year-old boy, can you imagine your eight-year-old child being told that you might die from this? Well, obviously that was scary, but one day my dad came to visit, and he came from work and went to Indy, and he got into the hospital, and my brother was weeping, and he said, what's going on? And he said, Dad, And he stopped, and 8 years old, this had not been discussed between them. He said, "Is it true that God casts our sins as far as the east is from the west?" My dad said, "Yes." He's like, "Why?" And he's like, "A couple weeks ago, I watched Disney Channel, I never told you. And I'm scared if I die that I'm going to hell." And my dad loved that story because in that moment, do you think my dad was furious with my brother? No. He said, "Son, I am so proud of you. And no, you are not going to hell. And you have pleased me so much today." And he says, "Your Heavenly Father loves you." And I love that story because I never look at Psalm 103 the same. And when I read that, I realize there was a time in my life that this has taken significance because after my mom had passed, there was a season of depression that I went through. And I don't know how many here have experienced depression at a very deep state, but I was in a very dark place in my life. And in that darkness, I felt like all I could do was fail God. And I felt like every aspect of my life was a failure and that God was disappointed in me. And I remember I was listening to a broadcast of some sort and this verse came on. And I want to read it because I don't know who it's for this morning, but I want to read some of it for you. In Psalm 103, and we're just going to read, starting verse 8, it says, "The Lord is compassionate and gracious. He is slow to anger and he is abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For the Lord knows that we are formed, for he remembers," listen to this part, it says, "he remembers that we are but dust. The life of mortals is like grass. They flourish like flowers of the field. The wind blows over it and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness is with his children's children. For those who keep his covenant, remember to obey his precepts." I don't know how many times since I've been married that I've told my wife, I said, "You are human." Because she is so gracious, but she takes so much weight upon it. And I'm saying this in all honesty. She's such a wonderful person, but she takes so many burdens on herself, things that she wasn't meant to carry, things that aren't her fault. And I always remind her, I say, "You are human, and God gets that. And we are weak in ourselves, but that's not your fault." And I just love this because I have a Heavenly Father that gets how weak I am. And he gets how much I fail and fall. And I want you to know today, I don't care if you are a veteran Christian. I don't care if you've been a Christian since you were little. This is applicable at certain times in our life, no matter how deep in the faith we are. The days that I think I get it the most is the day that I realize how much I failed. And the days that I realize that I'm carrying weight, and I do this all the time, there are burdens that I pick up that were never mine to carry. And I'm not really good with the family lineage and the way that sometimes you got the family sin that passes down and some of the holds that are on certain families. But whether it be something like that or just something that you daily struggle with, you don't have to leave here with it. And I don't know what the answer, I don't know what it's going to look like for you, but I know that what he said here in John 10 is that I have come that you might have life and life more abundantly. It says in 1 Peter 5 and 6, I'm going to just read this, I only have a few more passages. 1 Peter 5. And it says in verse 6, it says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all of your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Be alert and sober-minded. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of suffering." Heck, just remember that your fellow believers in this room are facing similar trials. And the God of grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm and steadfast. To him be power forever and ever. Amen. I want you to know today, if you feel weighed down, that God is not the accuser. That if you feel accused, if you feel shamed, if you feel burdened in that, is that Satan is the accuser. And I want you to get the difference this morning, and I need reminded of this all the time, is that God brings conviction and he brings a way out. Satan accuses and leaves you with no other option. And if you're feeling like that, that hopeless feeling, that is not your Heavenly Father this morning. That is the accuser who seeks to do one thing, and that's to destroy you. But Colossians 2, this is going to be our last passage this morning, Colossians 2. Through 15 says, when you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all of our sins, and having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us, he has taken it away, nailing it to the cross, and having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. This morning, I have no idea what the person in front of me or the person in back, I couldn't tell you what most of you guys are going through, what you're facing, what burdens you carry, but we have an advocate who does. And he wishes for us to live an abundant life. And I want that for you, and I want that for me. I want to show you a clip in just a moment, and I told Scott, I said, I'm probably going to lose a man card or two from showing you this clip, but if you've listened to me long enough in preaching, you know that I have very few man cards to play left. But sometimes it's the most simple of truths that stick with us and encourage us. Before we go into it, you may not be able to leave anything here on your own today. I want you to understand that too, is it's not in your strength. And you might be saying, I would love to lay it down. I would love to get rid of this burden. I would love to let go of fear. I would love to let go of unforgiveness. I would love to let go of my insecurities or my fear for somebody else or the burden that's been, or even the sickness that I have plagued me for weeks. I don't know what it is. And I can't tell you, you can't just pick it up and just drop it, but you do have an advocate that says, I will help you through it. And it might just mean you surrendering it and asking for help. And the reason I know this is true, I want to tell you one story, and we're going to show you this. And again, I really kind of didn't want to tell you the story because I don't want to put my dad in a place that it looks like, you know, something personal. But I want to share something he shared with me, and I only tell you because he would tell you from his own mouth if you asked. That there was a season my dad struggled very strongly financially. Years and years ago, he had bought a bunch of properties with the intent to give, once they were paid off, he was going to give the rent to missionaries. Great idea, great heart. My dad's not a businessman. And my dad does not have the kind of personality to be a rent collector or anything like that. So it started with good intentions, but led to years and years of burdens for him. And he had many properties that he had bad tenants. He was losing money. And eventually, as you know, there came a season where my mom got sick. She ended up passing. And my dad now had two kids, a daughter off in college. I'm getting near graduation time, but I'm a little over 17. I knew things were hard, but I never really knew how bad things were. But hearing my dad, what he said was he had gotten to a point in his life that he was steps away from bankruptcy. And he was struggling to the point that he was just paying off the cards. He was paying off just the bare minimum of what it would take in order to get them off his shoulders for another day. And the kind of stress, the kind of weight that he carried daily, I was not aware of. But it was a really dark time for our family and a really difficult time. Even to the point that our power got shut off close to Christmas time, and we ended up staying at his hotel that he owned just to stay warm. And I only tell you this story is because I remember that reality, but I didn't know what was going on in his heart. I just saw the outcomes. I felt the effects of what we are facing. But what my dad told me, and I actually didn't really know all the details till this year, but he said, I got to the end of my rope to the point that I was almost bankrupt, but I said, God, I don't want to be bankrupt. I don't want to lose everything, and I'm trying to take care of my family. And he said he was at that point in his life that he didn't know what else to do, and he said in that moment, he cried out to God, and he said, I can't do it anymore. Kind of like when I was carrying the weights, and he was kind of like, you sure you got that? You want some help? No, I'm good. My dad had been trying to juggle the weight and the burden of these properties for years, and for the first time since buying them, he cried out to God and said, I can't do it anymore. I legitimately can't do this, and I'm going to lose everything unless you help me. Now, days after he did this, people outside of our church, in our church, began to send envelopes without their names on it saying, this is some money for you, Jeff. And the pastor would come, he said, somebody wanted to give you this, it's some money. And then somebody the following week would say, hey, I brought you an envelope of cash. Most of you weren't attending this church at the time, but I want to be honest about this church, and one of the things I love about this church is that there were multiple times that this church sent my dad money, and they didn't even know he was going through what he was doing, and they would show up. And I think at the time, Sandy was a treasurer, and she brought the money over and said, we don't normally do this, but we wanted to share this with you and just give you this blessing. What can we pay for? And my dad just began to see God's hand move as he surrendered to him. And his weight, the burden that he was carrying, began to lighten and lighten and lighten to the point that today, he's not bankrupt, and he's free from that and has no debt. And the reason I tell you that story is because it was the moment that he stopped and said, I can't do it anymore. I don't want to come here and say, you know what, just give up that fear. That's really easy to say because I've told you guys, I've probably preached 10 times and given you the sermon. I am a worry wart. My fear and worry and anxiety over the future, over tomorrow, of how I'm going to do this or this, plagues me. And yet, I can't just say, you know what, I'm not afraid anymore. There is a conscious moment where I have to surrender and say, God, I can't carry it anymore. In the times that I've done that, he has made a way to free that fear. I want to show you a clip. As I said, this is a VeggieTales clip, and Scott's like, I've never seen this one. And I said, it's kind of like one of those ones that are obscure, but I want it really quick, just give you like a 30-second synopsis, because it's like 30 minutes and you can't watch the whole thing, unless you want to stay an extra 30 minutes, and I don't think you do. But this is called The Snoodles Tale. What a great name. But the idea is, in just like in VeggieTales stories, there is a bunch of things called snoodles. And just like Max Lucado had written the books called the Wimwicks, and I don't know if you've read those books or not, but he created these little wooden figures. In the same way, there is an unknown creator of these vegetables, whatever vegetables they are, called the snoodles. Now, they have been given a backpack, and they all have a set of wings, and each of them have a paint, you know, like one of those little art paints with the different colors. None of them know why, and none of them really know what they're meant for. They're born one day, and you'll see it right at the end. They just kind of pop out of this tower every couple minutes, and then they go about their merry way. Well, the whole idea is there's one little snoodle who pops out, who's pretty small, little blue snoodle, who all the rest make fun of him. And I remember this when I was little, is that the entire movie, constantly, all the other snoodles that are all very proud, they come up to him and they're like, you look really silly. You can't paint worth anything. And they would do an artistic drawing of how he looks foolish. And then they would cram it in his backpack. So when you see this clip, you look in his backpack, he's got a bunch of scrolls, and they have weighed him down the entire movie, and their burdens he carries, because they are reminders of the accusations and the attacks on people who said he wasn't good enough. And so he feels like a failure, eventually leaves everyone, comes up to this cave, and has a chance meeting with his creator that he knows nothing about. But I wanted to lay that out, as this young snoodle is feeling completely weighed down and like a failure for all the things that's happened to him. But I want you to just listen to the words. As I said, I've never forgotten it. No, I didn't watch this recently, but if I had a chance, I would have. So let's watch this together, and then we're going to close.
Are you blind? I'm puny. I'm silly. I'm not all that smart. I can't use my wings, and I'm no good at art.
The stranger leaned down with a pain in his heart.
Who told you these things?
He asked.
How do you know?
These pictures I have in my pack tell me so.
The small snoodle sniffled and started to go.
First, if you please, let me look at this art that makes your pack heavy and weighs down your heart.
Then picture by picture, he unpacked the bag that bent the poor snoodle and made his wings sag.
Dear boy,
said the man,
these look nothing like you.
Then into the fire the pictures he threw. He rose from his chair, saying,
wait there, you'll see that what you need most is a picture from me.
The snoodle sat patiently, sipping his tea. Then from a room in the back he returned and said,
dear little snoodle, it's time that you learned what you really look like.
And he threw off the sheet, and what the boy saw warmed him right to his feet. The boy in the portrait looked older and strong, with wings on his back that were sturdy and long, and a look in his eye, both courageous and free.
Sir?
Asked the boy.
Are you saying that's me? I like to believe it, but sir, I'm afraid to.
But I know who you are,
the man said,
for I made you. I built the tower and set it in motion. I planted the meadow, put fish in the ocean, and I feed the finches, though most snoodles doubt it. Not one of them falls that I don't know about it. I've seen you fall down in the mud and the goo. I've seen all you've done and all you will do. I gave you your pack and your paints and your wings. I chose them for you. They're your special things. The snoodle kazoo is so you can sing about colors in autumn or flowers in spring. I gave you your brushes in hopes that you'd see how using them you could make pictures for me. Most of the snoodles,
the old one said sadly,
just use their paints to make others feel badly.
The young snoodle pondered the things he'd been told. Then, wondering something, grew suddenly bold.
But, sir, if you made this incredible land, can't you make snoodles obey your command?
The big one smiled warmly, then said to the small,
a gift that's demanded is no gift at all.
With that, the small snoodle reached into his pack and pulled out the picture he'd made 10 miles back.
They're far lilies, sir, from over the bridge.
The old one beamed bright and said,
that's for my fridge.
After the small snoodle's picture was hung, the old one bent down to the face of the young. He said,
here's what you look like. Here's how I see you. Keep this in your pack and you'll find it will free you from all of the pictures and all of the lies that others made up just to cut down your size. And lastly, your wings. You know what they're for, but not just to fly, son. I want you to soar.
But, sir,
said the snoodle,
how can I fly? This picture's so big, I won't get very high.
But this picture's special. It's bigger, it's brighter. Carry it close, and I think you'll feel lighter.
As soon as he heard it, the snoodle looked down and noticed that he was an inch off the ground. He laughed and
I hadn't seen it for years. But as I was preparing this all week, I just remembered one part of it. And there was a lot there. But the part that towards the end of what he said, I meant for you to fly, but I meant for you to what? To soar. I said, we're told in the Gospels that we are supposed to be the light of the world. It's hard when that light is dimmed by the shadow of what we're carrying and the weights that we carry. I want to close this morning with an opportunity. Are you making fun of my VeggieTales movie? I don't know if this is appropriate for church service. Man. All right. Now that the mood is completely ruined. You know what? It is good to laugh, and it's real. No, in all honesty, though, I was praying all week because I really did feel like there was a heaviness in people and that there were those under attack. So what I want to do is just to close out the service. I have a song that's also been on my heart. As I said, whenever I preach a sermon, it's like, here's a story, here's a song. It's just the way I process, the way I worship, the way I prepare my heart. And it's a song about that. And I do want to give you the opportunity. There is nothing magical about coming forward. There is nothing magical about staying where you're at. It is an act of a heart motive. And whether you want prayer from me or whoever wants to come up, or if you want to just surrender, whatever it is, you don't have to leave with it. You have an advocate who's promised that he will carry your burdens for you, or at least he will make a way to carry them. He will make a way through them. And so, even if just for a moment, I want to ask two things from you. You can do one of three things. If you want to come up in that prayer, that is what the body's for. You don't have to carry it alone. Is you have an advocate, but that is what the body of Christ is for. That is the realness. That is why I hope that one day it's not me over there wondering what you're facing, but that we share with one another what we're facing. So I want to give you an opportunity during this song. You can come forward. Whoever wants to can come pray for you. If you want to stay where you're at and do it silently, it's all about an active heart. Or three, I want to ask you just to take the time of the song. If this doesn't apply to you, which maybe today it doesn't, but tomorrow it might, there are people guaranteed in these pews that you know someone in your life right now that you can see that. There is, as I said, I can count on one hand at least, if not two, people that right now I could give you their names, that every time I see them, they're believers, they love the Lord, and yet they're so burdened. And they're not free. And they don't live an abundant life. They just try to thrive. They try to survive from day to day. And I want them to be free. And so one of those three things, will you do that with me this morning? Listen to this song. If you want prayer, your body's here for you. And if you want to pray for someone else, let's just take the time of this song and pray for those people that are in our hearts.
There is freedom. There is freedom for you, dear. There is freedom. There is freedom for you here. There is freedom. There is freedom for you, dear. There is freedom. There is freedom for you here. And when your heart aches and you can't find the way, when you're afraid, my voice will fade away. When all hope seems lost, 'cause you can't see the cross, remember that my love will lead you on. There is freedom. There is freedom for you, dear. There is freedom. There is freedom for you here. There is freedom. There is power in my blood to set you free. If the sun makes you free.